Moving with cocky assurance, Rick Desch, black hair streamlined and newly tattooed, stepped into the Nebula Orchid and took in the room at a glance. Patrons in the popular Kuat City eatery included the usual boisterous mix of human and non-human technicians, engineers, and shipfitters, many on surface leave from Kuat Drive Yard's orbital starship construction facilities, along with a dozen or so civilians. Among the latter were three veiled Telbans in heavy purple and red robes and tall cylindrical hats, mates in training for the spoiled daughters of the Kuati elite. Rick crossed the room and folded himself into booth 6. Booth 5 was also empty, but in 7 sat a lone Telban, whose facial veil covered all but his eyes. Rick settled back against the padded seat to wait for his mystery contact to turn up. He was about to hail a waiter when the Telban, sitting back to back with him, spoke up. "Don't turn around, Rick," the Kuati ordered in the neutered tone typical of a high-priced voice scrambler. Rick leaned his head back, almost touching the Telbans.
"You'd better have something worthwhile," he hissed.
"I know a way to put you in good stead with your bosses."
"Yeah? What makes you think I'm not in good standing?"
"You showed up here. I wasn't sure where you stood when I comlinked you, but I know now. You're ambitious and you're intrigued." Rick snorted.
"I'll let you know when I hear the rest of what you have to say."
"The New Republic has a Yuzhong Vong defector in custody. She's an elite, a priestess of some sort. She's traveling with a mascot. The two are being transferred to Coruscant for safekeeping. I know the route they're taking." Rick checked an impulse to turn around.
"I'm not sure I follow you."
"Think about it. Whoever returns the defector to the fold will be doing the Yuzhong Vong a tremendous favor."
"Now I get it. I make everyone happy and maybe earn myself a reward. But what's your payoff in this?"
"The New Republic is going to lose this war, and there's nothing to be gained by being on the losing side. Play this right, Rick, and both of us will come out winners." Rick took a slow breath.
"All right," he said. "I'm willing to give this a shot."
"You won't be sorry." The Telban paused briefly. "The defector and her companion are traveling to Coruscant by way of Bilbringi, aboard an old starliner called Queen of Empire. But I suggest you grab them before they reach Bilbringi."
"You leave that to me," Rex said.
Warbling sirens signaled an all-clear as C-3PO hurried past the open-air launch pads of Ord Mantell's primary spaceport. Defense shields had protected the city from aerial bombardment.
"Thank the Maker," C-3PO muttered as he walked. "Thank the Maker."
Secreted with her vigilant Nogri bodyguard, Mistress Leia had tasked C-3PO with assuring that their spacecraft hadn't suffered damage during the Yuzhong Vong attack, and indeed that had proved to be the case. Then, quite unexpectedly, his photoreceptors zeroed in on Master Solo, conversing with a Rin of all species. As C-3PO hastened toward them, he couldn't help but note that Master Han and the Rin looked somewhat the worse for wear. And in fact, Master Solo and the Rin weren't so much conversing as arguing.
"See you around,"
the Rin was concluding as C-3PO neared.
"Not if I can help it, partner,"
Han said in a manner that held little sympathy.
"Master Solo,"
C-3PO called, waving an arm over his head.
"Master Solo."
Han turned and saw him, then snorted a laugh, not at all as surprised as C-3PO might have expected him to be.
"Master Solo, you're injured,"
C-3PO exclaimed on seeing dried blood on his hands and face.
"Could have been a lot worse,"
Han replied, with his usual penchant for understatement.
"Where's Leia, 3PO?"
"Why, she's at the Hotel Grand as we speak, sir."
Han thought for a minute, eyes narrowing as he glanced at C-3PO.
"I don't suppose there's any chance of your not mentioning you ran into me."
C-3PO inclined his head in perplexity.
"No, I suppose not,"
Han said, answering for himself. He blew out his breath.
"In that case, I guess you better lead me to her."
I still can't believe you're here, Leia said, as she applied a transdermal Bacta patch to a nasty abrasion above Han's right eyebrow. Han was seated at the vanity in Leia's elegant hotel room, with Leia leaning over him and C-3PO standing silently in the background. Where's your friend Roa?
Han spoke through gritted teeth. That's an excellent question, Leia. He got sucked into some sort of Yuuzhong Vong snake ship that latched onto the Jubilee wheel.
Leia placed her hands on his shoulders. Oh, Han, no.
Maybe he's only been captured, Han vented, but that's even worse.
Did you two accomplish what you set out to do? Leia asked guardedly.
Han's eyes found hers in the vanity mirror. The enemy interrupted us.
I'm sorry to hear that.
Leia averted her gaze and returned to smoothing the Bacta patch.
What will you do now?
Abruptly, Han stood up and paced away from the vanity. I don't know. Look for him, I guess.
Leia regarded him with disbelief. Look for him? How do you intend to do that?
Han shook his head. I don't know yet. He glanced at Leia and scowled. What do you expect me to do? Pretend it never happened?
Of course not. I only meant...
Han waved his hand at her. Ah, how could I expect you to understand?
It's reckless of you to be roaming about out there.
I'm not exactly roaming about, Leia.
Then tell me what you're doing.
Han started to say something, but stopped himself and began again. I knew it would be a mistake to come here, he mumbled. Leia stepped back in genuine dismay. She made no attempt to restrain him as he snatched his travel pack from the floor and let himself out. But no sooner did the door seal than she sank to the bed as if stunned.
Well, that certainly wasn't in the plans, she said flatly to C-3PO.
The plans, mistress?
She looked at him askance. It's an expression, 3PO. I didn't really have any plans.
C-3PO appeared to slouch. Leia smiled in spite of herself.
Human thinking isn't all it's prized to be, 3PO. In fact, sometimes it's better not to know what's on someone else's mind.
Han placed his hand over the top of the squarish glass to prevent the four-armed bartender from refilling it. He paid for the drink, tipped the Kodru G generously, and was headed for the exit when Big Bungie's Aqualish lieutenant intercepted him.
Ah, see, you made it off the wheel in one piece, Han said with elaborate disappointment.
Good to see you too, Solo. Boss B thought you might be found here.
Tell Bungie I want to thank him for leaving us behind.
He sends his apologies. Perhaps this will help, Solo. The boss has learned that the human you are asking about, the one called Wreck Dash, has an operation plan for Beringe.
Han's expression went from anger to wary interest. What sort of operation?
Unknown, only that it involves the entire Peace Brigade.
When?
Imminently.
Beringe, you say?
That much is known.
Han pushed his hair from his forehead and loosed a slow exhale. Okay. Tell Bungie thanks. Han had to find transport to Beringe and nose around for clues as to what Wreck was up to. Leia could probably pull the necessary strings to get him aboard a ship, but he couldn't ask her without coming clean, and he wasn't ready to risk that. Not yet, anyway. But C-3PO could arrange for his passage on a Beringe-bound vessel. As per Han's discreetly relayed request, C-3PO rendezvoused with him at the entrance to the Ord Mantell spaceport.
Nothing better than a prompt droid, Han said, smiling.
I must confess, Master Solo, C-3PO responded anxiously, that I feel less than right about this, especially about mimicking Mistress Leia's voice to arrange for your passage.
Come on, 3PO, you've done it before. You did it to fool Grand Admiral Thrawn's forces.
That's not very reassuring, sir. What's more, that was a matter of protecting the princess from assassins. This is a matter of protecting you from... I'm not quite sure what, Master Solo.
I'm not asking you to lie, 3PO, Han said. If Leia doesn't ask you about me, then there's no need for you to say where I've gone.
But surely she will ask about you, sir.
Han considered, then said, "You know, sometimes people are better off not knowing certain things."
"Sir?"
"Sometimes it's more painful to know the truth than not to know it."
C-3PO paid close attention. "Put that way, it doesn't sound so bad."
Then he made a flustered gesture.
"But, Master Solo, sir, about this ship on which you have passage, there's something you should know."
"No time, 3PO," Han said. "Thanks for everything. You won't regret this."
"But, sir,"
he called out as Han hurried out of the spaceport,
"it's the Queen of Empire, a jinxed vessel if ever there was one."
Showalter grimaced as he watched Elan's Ooglyph masker envelop and attach itself to her, extruding microscopic hooks and tentacles that inserted themselves into pores, sweat ducts, wrinkles, and folds.
"All finished,"
Elan announced stoically, and Showalter turned again to find her clothed not only in the Yuuzhan Vong's second skin, but also in the robe he had originally handed her. She looked more human than ever. Vergaer's disguise amounted to no more than a loose-fitting garment that concealed her feathered torso and reverse-articulated legs. It was hoped that with so many folks displaced from the Outer Rim, immigration and customs officials were getting used to seeing new species every day. Showalter handed Elan undergarments, a simple dress, a jacket, and shoes. "Here's your outfit."
"Who am I supposed to be?"
"My wife. We're refugees displaced from a planet called Cernpadal, traveling with our servant."
"That would be me,"
Vergaer said.
"As ever."
"We'll be met by backup on the ship." As the pack to the bulkhead's tender pulled into docking position alongside the once magnificent luxury liner, Han suddenly realized what C-3PO had been trying to tell him back on Ord Mantell. "Of all ships," Han said to himself as the vessel's faded and battle-scarred legend came into view, "the Queen of Empire." In her heyday, the Queen had rivaled the older Quamar Messenger and the Mon Calamari starliner Quarry Princess, but frequently the target of pirates, a magnet for meteors, and once stranded in hyperspace for 5 days, the Queen had fallen on hard times. It wasn't until he was aboard that he grasped just how far the Queen had fallen. While he and a handful of others actually held tickets, the ship was overwhelmed with keel runners, casualties of war, and refugees previously stranded on Ord Mantell and the Wheel, and now on their way to various colony and core worlds, thanks in large part to Leia's efforts. Han hadn't eaten anything since bar snacks on Ord Mantell, and not surprisingly, he was ravenous. But by the time he arrived at the cafeteria, it had been set upon by near-starving passengers, and only limited quantities of food remained. There wasn't a utensil to be found. It had come down to using claws, pincers, or whatever foraging appendages nature had bestowed. Han was assessing whether any of the grime on his hands might be toxic when he remembered the survival tool Anakin had given him, the one Chewie had made, which, remarkably, after all he'd been through on the Jubilee Wheel, was still clipped to his belt. And sure enough, the tool contained a fork attachment. Closing in on the warming trays, he saw that only one piece of nerf steak remained, an overdone gristly piece at that, but he wasn't about to pass it up. As he reached forward and speared it, however, a talon-like nail attached to a somewhat velvety five-fingered hand lanced the steak at the same instant. Han whirled and found himself face-to-face with the male Rin, in whose company he had escaped the wheel. The prehensile-tailed alien was sporting the same vibrantly colored culottes vest and jaunty beret. "Ha!" the Rin yapped in amused surprise. "I told you I'd see you around." Han grimaced. "Around 5 years from now would have been more to my liking." "Ah, but you can't fight fate, my friend." "I can try," Han snapped. "What are you doing here, anyway?" "Why, the same as you, traveling forward." He cut his large eyes to the thin slab of meat. "So, who claims the prize?" "I guess we share it," Han said in a rankled tone. "Providing you eat the half you stuck your fingernail into." Han transferred the steak to an inexpertly washed plate, and the two of them found opposing seats at a nearby table, among a mixed group of Celestans and Bims.
"Troma,"
the Rin said, extending a hand as he was sitting down.
Roki Lamu, Han told him, reluctantly shaking hands.
I have to say, Roki, you look a lot better than when I saw you last.
Han scratched at the rectangle of synth flesh Leia had applied to his forehead.
The marvel of Bacta. Wish I could
say the same for you, Droma completed.
Han slapped the tabletop and leaned forward angrily.
You and I need to come to an arrangement. I don't know the trick to how you do it, but from now on, you're going to keep my thoughts to yourself. Understand?
Quite a challenge, Droma mused.
That's your problem.
Han stared at him for a moment.
Just how do you do it?
Why, haven't you heard that all Rin are mind readers and fortune tellers?
Droma asked facetiously.
Yeah, and I'm a Jedi Knight.
Droma laughed.
Now, that would be a stretch.
Where are the Rin from?
Han asked while Droma was licking his fingers clean.
Originally, I mean.
Droma smoothed the ends of his white mustache.
A world in the core, but even we Rin don't know which one.
How did you end up on the Jubilee Wheel?
I was among a caravan of Rin ships that had left the corporate sector for the Lesser Pluriot Cluster when the Yuuzhangfang pushed into the Ortega system and destroyed Ithor.
You're a professional pilot?
A fair one, Droma said. As well as a scout and all-around spacer.
So, what happened after Ithor?
Our ships were scattered, as were our families. I've been searching for my clanmates ever since, including a sister and several cousins.
Tough, Han said.
Droma nodded.
But what about you, Roki? You'll handle a ship as masterfully as a starfighter pilot
or a successful smuggler. What brings you out here? Han took a moment to collect his thoughts.
I'm more a mechanic than I am a pilot. Taking time off from normal life to figure some things out.
Above a gibbous Obra sky, Harar's faceted ship hung in the shadow of the most recently arrived of the Yuuzhangfang's Yorick Coral battleships, under the command of Malik Kar. In the command center of the smaller vessel, Malik Kar, Nom Anur, Harar, Commander Talah, and his chief tactician studied a holographic swirl of star systems, given life by data fed to the war coordinator lodged in Obraskai's mutilated surface, and relayed to the faceted ship by signal billet.
The auguries are encouraging,
Commander Tla was telling his peer.
Our campaign proceeds apace.
Duly noted, Malik Kar said. And what of the Jedi?
Harar vouchsafed a thin smile.
Their days may be numbered as well. We have taken steps to provide the Jedi with a crisis by infiltrating one of our own among them, Priestess Elan.
We have even gone so far as to provide the New Republic with a minor victory at Port Mantero to substantiate the peerless value of our operative,
Commander Tla added.
It is our belief that Elan is en route to a meeting with the Jedi even now.
The priest stopped himself when he saw a herald appear at the entry to the command center, bearing a villip in his folded arms. Approaching Nom Anur, the herald stroked the villip's ridge, inducing it to evert. Nom Anur gestured for one of his own dedicated villips to be brought forth, and watched as the transforming villip took on the aspect of one of his Yuuzhangfang underlings.
Executor,
the subaltern's facsimile began.
A group of your agents, those enlisted in the Peace Brigade, have apparently taken it upon themselves to return something seemingly lost to us.
Nom Anur's eyes grew wide.
Not Elan,
he said in false hope.
She, Executor.
What? Harar said in alarm.
What's this? How is this possible?
Nom Anur asked.
How did the Peace Brigade learn of Elan's feigned defection?
I have not been able to ascertain that, Executor.
This is ludicrous, Harar shouted. How do they plan to retrieve her?
Apparently they have been apprised of the means by which she is to be relocated to Coruscant Eminence.
Nom Anur wore a rancorous expression.
Impossible! Even I had difficulty sorting through the New Republic's subterfuges. Even within the Intelligence Division, the route is a closely guarded secret.
I know only that the Peace Brigade is planning to move against a passenger ship bound for Birbringi,
the subaltern said.
They have persuaded at least one of their immediate Yuuzhan Vong controllers to assist them, and they have a Dovan Basil in their possession.
We must see to it that they are prevented from interfering.
Harad became angrier as he spoke.
At any cost!
We're husband and wife,
Showalter told the Askajian officer stationed at the most forward of the Queen of Empire's starboard boarding gates. The stout near-human regarded Vergaer.
Is he with you?
She,
Showalter demanded.
Our servant.
The boarding officer nodded uncertainly, then returned the identity documents and tickets Showalter had provided.
Your stateroom is located on deck 24, berthing space 12. Welcome aboard and safe journey.
The stateroom was more spacious than he had expected, with a sitting area of couch, table, and chairs, and four pull-down beds. Ushering the two defectors inside, Showalter checked the passageway before securing the door.
Home sweet home, he said. Until tomorrow, at least.
What happens then?
Ilan asked as she sat down on one of the platform beds.
I'll tell you when the time comes.
She shook her head at him.
You still don't trust me, do you?
Nothing personal, he said. Just following procedure.
Showalter set their luggage in a corner and made certain that the door to the adjoining suite was locked. He was about to make himself comfortable when someone knocked at the entry door. Drawing his blaster from his shoulder holster, he positioned himself alongside the lock jamb.
What is it?
Cabin service,
a resonant voice said.
We didn't request anything.
Compliments of Captain Scour,
the man in the passageway replied.
He also invites you to be his guests at his table this evening.
That can be arranged.
I'll tell him you said so.
Showalter lowered his weapon and hit the hatch release. A tall, dark-haired, and dangerous-looking human entered, followed by a Rhodian.
I'm Darda,
the man announced.
This is Capel.
Green, coarse-complected, and a bit hard on the human nose, Capo had a lithe grace and an easygoing air. Catching sight of Ilan and Vergaer, he drew his partner's attention to them.
Where'd you come aboard?
Showalter asked. Darda pivoted away from Ilan to face him.
Right here at Vortex. We were ahead of you in the boarding line.
Showalter grinned.
Yeah, I noticed you.
Is it just you two?
Three more are already on board,
Darda supplied,
mingling with the refugees in steerage. They'll probably show themselves at dinner.
Showalter nodded.
Where's your cabin?
Darda nodded his square chin at the passage door to the adjoining suite.
Right next to you.
Convenient, Showalter remarked. Someone at HQ actually did their homework.
He glanced at Capo. Where do you work out of, Capo?
Birbringi,
the Rhodian said, pressing suction-cupped fingertips together.
Showalter's eyes returned to Darda.
You? Lately out of Gamor, but they're pulling me back to Coruscant after this op.
Showalter looked surprised.
Is that right? Who's your new boss?
Darda had his mouth open to respond when another knock sounded at the door. Showalter gestured for silence and raised his blaster once more.
What is it?
Cabin service,
a human voice replied. The three NRI operatives exchanged disconcerted glances. Showalter gestured Darda and Capo into the adjoining suite and motioned for Ilan and Vergaer to remain still. When the passage door closed behind Capo, Showalter moved to the entrance.
We didn't request anything.
Compliments of Captain Scour. He also invites you to be his guests at his table this evening.
That can be arranged.
I'll tell him you said so.
With an economy of movement, Showalter slid his blaster under a pillow on the couch, arranged two chairs so that their backs were turned to the passage door, and opened the entry door. A muscular human male and a handsome Bothan female entered, introducing themselves as Jody T. and Saiga Brelia. Shrewdly, Showalter maneuvered them into the chairs and asked where they'd come aboard.
We've been aboard since Ord Mantell, the Bothan said, after she'd had a pure eyeful of Ilan and Vergaer.
Is it just the two of you?
Two others were supposed to have come aboard at Anobis, but they haven't made contact yet.
Where's your cabin?
Showalter asked Jody T. 10 doors down the passageway, starboard side.
Convenient.
Showalter sat on the couch facing them, his hand closing slowly on the concealed blaster.
Where are you based?
Bill Bringy, Jody T said.
What about you, Saiga?
Ord Mantell.
The passage door began to open, revealing Darda with a blaster raised to his chin in a two-handed grip. Showalter made brief eye contact and laughed to cover any sounds the door might make in opening wide.
So was that serious about dinner at the captain's table?
He asked.
I wish,
Saiga said, smiling. Showalter brought the blaster out with cool efficiency and fired. The bolt flashed between Jody T and the boffin, hitting Darda squarely in the chest. Darda flew back from the doorway as if kicked by a gun dart, but managed to squeeze off one blast that caught Jody T in the back, propelling him onto the couch. Showalter and Saiga hit the deck. At the same time, Vergere leapt from her bed to protect Elan, forcing her into a corner of the cabin and planting herself between the priestess and Harm. Showalter managed to get to one knee, but Capo had him in his sights and fired. The blast found Showalter's left shoulder just under the collarbone and spun him completely around. But even as he was falling, shots from the floor told him that Saiga had joined the fight. A blood-curdling scream rang out, and Showalter blinked his eyes open in time to see a wounded Capo dragging himself toward the front door of the adjacent suite, and Saiga, propelling herself backward on her rear, pressing a hand to the gaping hole a blaster bolt had opened in the center of her chest. Showalter came to his feet and staggered into the adjoining cabin space, gun raised in one shaking hand. Capo was already halfway into the corridor, and all Showalter's shot did was provide him with an impetus to hurry. Showalter stumbled to the door, but only to close and lock it. Wisps of smoke coiling from his charred shoulder, he wobbled back to his cabin. His fingers found no pulse in Jody T's throat. Throwing Elan and Vergere a quick look, he crawled over to Saiga, who had propped herself against the entry door.
"Did you get him, Major?"
she asked weakly. Showalter shook his head.
"Who were they?"
"I don't know, but they had the code."
The Bothan's eyes widened.
"Our code?"
"Same one I was given."
"Then how did you know we were on the level?"
"One of them claimed to be working out of Gamor. I guess whoever supplied the code didn't know that we phased out that safe house a long while ago."
A pained groan escaped Saiga.
"Saiga," Showalter said sharply, "you said we have two more aboard."
Eyelids fluttering, she managed a nod.
"Who are they? How were you instructed to make contact? Saiga! Saiga!"
Her eyes rolled up into her head. A final breath rattled from her lungs, and she died. Showalter's eyes glazed over. He turned and sat unmoving on the floor.
"You're hurt,"
Elan said close to his ear in what sounded like genuine concern. Vergere was suddenly beside him, her slanted eyes brimming with tears.
"Let me help you,"
she said. Cupping her delicate hands, she held them to her eyes. Then she rubbed her moistened palms together and pressed them to Showalter's wound. He locked his teeth against intense but short-lived pain. Then he took a long, shuddering breath.
"Better?"
Vergere asked.
"Yes,"
he told her, plainly astonished.
"It's a temporary repair. You're going to need medical attention."
He nodded in understanding, pushed himself to his feet, and rearmed his blaster. Cautiously opening the door, he peered into the passageway.
"We're leaving," he said. "Our only chance is to locate my backup."
"But you don't know who you're looking for,"
Elan reminded. Showalter nodded grimly.
"I'm hoping they'll recognize me."
Han emerged from the portable refresher, slamming the door behind him as if to prevent something horrible from escaping.
"I'll bet anything some Gamorrean's been in there," he growled to Droma. "Can't stick to their own freshers, have to foul ours."
"Is this your typical morning mood?" Droma asked.
Han glared at him.
"No, but it's my mood when I don't get any sleep."
The Rin made a sound of dismissal.
"I didn't ask to share your cabin space. I was fine being in steerage."
"I don't mind sharing my cabin space. What I mind your tail in my face half the night. This is hopeless,"
Hans said as he dressed quickly and left the cabin. He accelerated, figuring that the Rin's short legs wouldn't allow him to keep up. Han quickly rounded a corner in the passageway,
Then, out of nowhere, powerful arms grabbed him from behind, holding him fast and whirling him around.
Han, his interdictor said, latching onto him for dear life. I won't even try to imagine how Scour talked you into this duty, but I'm sure glad to see you.
Scour, Han said. Then recognition dawned.
Showalter? What the... They hit us in the cabin, Han. Agents working for the Yuuzhang Vong killed two of my people. I got one of them, but the other got away. A slippery-looking Rhodian named Capo. He's probably got reinforcements aboard, and they're probably searching for us now. You've got to find a secure place to hide them.
Han followed Showalter's hand to Elan and Verger.
What's so important? They're Yuuzhang Vong, Showalter rasped. Defectors.
Mouth falling open, Han gave them a closer look, then returned his attention to Showalter.
How'd you... Is this your partner?
The NRI operative asked. Han spun, found Droma standing behind him, and frowned.
He's just until Bilbringi, Han,
Showalter said with sudden frailty.
Han?
Droma asked in mild surprise. Showalter collapsed back against the corridor wall and slid to his rear, with Han following him down.
Backup personnel will meet you in Bilbringi. They'll handle the transfer from there.
The NRI officer groaned in pain. Han realized he had blood on his hands and cut his eyes to Showalter's shoulder.
You're hurt!
He grabbed hold of a passing Duro steward.
This man needs to be moved to sick bay immediately. Got it?
The steward's head bobbed nervously.
Yes, sir, immediately.
Showalter screwed his eyes shut against a wave of pain.
Get going, Han!
Han turned to the defectors.
You two are coming with me. Any trouble, and I'll stick you in a locker for the rest of the voyage. Understand?
The woman bristled, but the little alien nodded.
We're in your hands.
Han raised his index finger.
Remember that.
They hadn't gone 10 meters when he heard Droma ask,
Han?
My code name,
Han said over his shoulder.
You're an intelligence agent?
Han came to a halt and whirled around.
Stay out of this, Droma.
Just then, the Queen sustained an unexpected jolt.
Attention, all passengers. This is the captain speaking. We have been forcibly reverted to real space by unknown raiders.
Raiders, Han sniggered. They're not raiders, they're after someone in particular.
Are you sure?
Droma asked wryly.
Pretty sure, Han deadpanned.
It's Pai people,
Elan said, stricken with fear.
Please, don't let them find us. Please.
The nerve of him, Leia said, venting to Luke and Mara as she paced the floor of their apartment on Coruscant, telling me I'm incapable of understanding his grief, then running off to who knows where.
You can take the boy out of Corellia, but you can't take Corellia out of the boy,
Mara remarked from the couch. Leia turned to Mara.
I'm sorry to unleash on you two. I haven't even asked how you are. I'm feeling a lot stronger,
Mara said, and let it go at that. Leia smiled to herself, thinking about how deeply she cared for Mara.
I thought you would have returned to Yavin 4 by now, she said after a moment.
Luke and Mara traded secretive looks. Then Luke said, Have you been informed that a Yuuzhang Vong has defected?
Leia gaped at him. What? When?
Shortly before you left for Ord Mantell. She's being brought to Coruscant for further debriefing.
That's great news.
Leia's eyes lit up briefly. And she trained them on Luke.
Does the defector have something to do with your still being here?
She's asked to meet with some of us.
Us? As in Jedi?
Leia straightened.
Don't tell me you've agreed to it. She claims to have information about an illness the Yuuzhang Vong brought to our galaxy,
Mara answered. Leia brought one hand to her mouth.
But Mara...
A familiar shriek emanated from the adjoining room, and C-3PO hurried into view, jerky movements reflecting his inner agitation. Behind him rolled R2-D2, razzing and squeaking in what was clearly derision.
Oh, please don't deactivate me, C-3PO whined. It wasn't my fault. I was only trying to help.
R2-D2 zithered something scornful.
Oh, switch off, you little drink caddy.
3PO, calm down, Leia said. What's this all about? He swung to her.
It was just on the news net, Mistress Leia. The Queen of Empire has been set upon by raiders rimward of the Bilbringi system. A distress call was dispatched, but the ship is probably being boarded at this very moment.
Luke showed Leia a quizzical look.
A vessel transporting refugees from Ord Mantell to the core, she explained.
But Master Solo,
C-3PO said.
Leia stared.
What about him?
C-3PO threw his hands in the air.
He's aboard the ship.
Leia shook her head as if she hadn't heard him correctly. 3PO, I don't understand.
Oh, I shouldn't have listened to him, but when he repeated the very same words you had used earlier, I was certain that my decision was justified.
What words?
That sometimes it's better not to know what others are thinking. That sometimes it's less painful not to know the truth. You yourself said so, mistress.
R2-D2 whistled in sarcasm.
But what does all that have to do with Han being aboard the Queen of Empire?
Leia asked.
Master Han asked me to arrange for his passage, and I did so by impersonating you, Mistress Leia, your vocal patterns at any rate. And as to why I never made mention of Master Han's whereabouts, that was because you never once asked me directly if I had knowledge to that effect.
3PO, Leia cut him off. I'm certain you're not fully to blame, not when it concerns Han. But be honest with me now. Why was he going to Bilbringi?
I know nothing of his reasons, mistress.
R2-D2 rotated his domed head in a full circle, chirping and chittering in a mix of rebuke and concern.
3PO, Luke said. You said that the ship issued a distress call?
According to the Newsnet reports, yes, Master Luke.
Luke looked at Leia.
We could go.
Mara threw him a dubious glance.
Even if we used the Namadi corridor, we'd never make it in time. Leia shot to her feet. You're forgetting one thing. We'll be flying the fastest hunk of junk in the galaxy.
You mustn't let them find us,
Elan wailed into Han's ear as they threaded and shouldered their way through a mixed-species mob jamming the passageway. Han angled his head just enough to throw her a warning look. Either you pipe down, or I'll turn you over to them myself.
You do well to fear me,
she told him. Save the threats for someone who cares, sweetheart. I'm only doing this because Showalter took a blast of beam for you, which means he thinks you're pretty important.
More important than you know.
We'll see about that. But right now, you're my charge, and you'll do as I say. Got it? She allowed a defiant nod. From a portside blister, it was possible to observe the approach of the raider ship. Running lights suggested a long, cylindrically shaped vessel, equivalent in size to an old blockade runner. As it maneuvered within range of the Queen's outboard illumination arrays, Han saw, much to his initial bafflement, that the ship was, in fact, an old Corellian corvette. Just aft of the cockpit module, the matte hull was emblazoned with the clasped hands insignia of the Peace Brigade. The words of Big Bungie's Aquilish lieutenant rushed to mind. They have an operation plan for Bilbringi. Wreck, Han said to himself in astonishment. The Peace Brigade was after the defectors.
Why are we standing here?
Alan asked anxiously.
The agents who escaped will be searching for us.
That isn't a Yuuzhang Vong ship, Han told her.
But that is,
Droma said, pointing. Han followed the Rin's thin, velvety finger. I take back what I said. You must be pretty important for them to send a warship.
As important to my people as I am to yours, she answered. I have vital information for your Jedi Knights.
Han's brows knitted in interest. Concerning what?
An illness my people introduced.
Before he could stop himself, Han had taken her roughly by the shoulders.
You're serious about this?
She nodded. Out of nowhere, another choice had been forced on him. By remaining on the Queen, he might be able to finish the business with Wreck, as Roa had put it. But if Elan was who she claimed to be, her safe conduct to Coruscant could mean a cure for Mara's illness. He blew out his breath. Wreck would have to wait. Maybe you are worth the effort after all, he said at last. The Queen shuddered concussively as the corvette fastened herself alongside. The raiders will hook up with the survivors of the team that hit Showalter and begin a deck-by-deck search. We need to move fast.
Where to?
Droma asked. The docking bay. Our only hope is to make off with one of their own ships. An ovoid of Yorick coral propelled by a Dovan Basil of the highest caliber, this was the swiftest ship in the flotilla. From the bridge, Nom Anor addressed Vileps
consciousness joined to Harar and Malik Kaur. His view through the crystalline viewport took in the Peace Brigade's gunship and the Queen.
I have my agents under surveillance,
Nomanor updated.
The capabilities of the Dovin Basel aboard the Peace Brigade gunship have been neutralized, and I have commanded our own Dovin Basel to prevent the gunship from separating from the Starliner. Should the Peace Brigade succeed in locating Alan, any attempt at embarkation will fail.
Harar's Philip spoke.
No doubt your misguided operatives are aware of our presence. They will wonder why you aren't coming to their assistance, and they may attempt contact.
Let them wonder, Nom Anor snapped. I'm only interested in persuading the New Republic to conclude that the actions of the Peace Brigade are simply an attempt on our part to retrieve Alan.
He was interrupted by his second on the bridge. Fists snapped to opposite shoulders in apology for the intrusion.
A ship emerging from hyperspace, Executor. Our signal Villip identifies it as a New Republic cruiser carrier.
Nom Anor addressed the Villips.
The arrival of that vessel should simplify matters.
He swung to the bridge officer.
Make ready to engage the enemy's starfighters. You may disapprove of this, subaltern, but you're going to have to make it appear as if you were chased off. You have my word that your losses will not be held against you.
The Millennium Falcon burst into real space on the far side of Bilbringi's profusion of orbital habitats and mined planetoids. Leia and Luke had the forward seats, with Mara behind Luke in the chair normally assigned to a communications officer, and C-3PO in the navigator's chair. R2-D2 had planted himself at the rear of the cockpit with his grasping arm clamped to a slender conduit.
Unidentified Corellian freighter!
An incensed voice barked over the comm.
This is Captain Jorlin of the New Republic cruiser carrier Thirst. You've jumped into a combat zone. I suggest you hold fast or return to wherever you came from.
Captain Jorlin, Leia said. This is Ambassador Organa Solo.
Ambassador, what in blazes are you doing here?
The captain sounded surprised, though hardly cheered.
And when is that husband of yours going to get around to installing an authorized transponder?
I'll ask him when I see him, Captain. He's aboard the Queen of Empire. We've come to lend a hand if you'll have our help.
Negative, Ambassador. We're engaged with a Yuuzhan Vong frigate in this arena. I request you hold your position for the moment.
Acknowledged, Captain. We'll stay put. For now, Leia added under her breath. With concussive explosions rocking the Queen, Han peeked around the corner of a corridor at a hatch that opened on the docking bay. Guarding the way were two men armed with blasters and stun nets. No good, he told Droma and the women. They've sealed off every approach. Withdrawing, he pressed his back to the bulkhead and glanced left and right. We need a hole to hide in. He led them to a bank of drop shafts and cautiously peered over the edge of one of them. Far below was the floor of a cargo hold. In case you haven't noticed, Droma said, the shafts have been deactivated.
So we find some shock cord, Han said. It's only, 50 meters or so to the bottom?
The sound of approaching footsteps put a quick end to the dilemma. Even after all the years, Rek Desh was recognizable by his cocky gait and full sleeve of tattoos. With him walked five examples of well-armed Peace Brigade thuggery and a spindly miscreant who would have made a perfect Yuuzhan Vong if, in fact, he wasn't one, disguised by an oversized cloak. Rek advanced a couple of steps and swept his eyes over everyone. Much to Han's surprise, Rek didn't appear to recognize him, but perhaps only because he was too busy scrutinizing Alan. Shortly, a knowing smile began to pull at the corners of his mouth. He turned and waved a signal to his rail-thin confederate. From a sturdy carry case the lanky man set at his feet, he extracted, by the scruff of its bristly neck, a nasty-tempered, sharp-toothed creature that looked like the offspring of a Nagok and a Quillerat. Han heard Elan's sharp intake of breath and saw her eyes widen as the creature's handler let the thing get a whiff of her.
All at once, a layer of skin seemed to peel back from Elan's nose, cheeks, and neck, and withdraw into the collar of her blouse, bulging as it rushed down her body. The layer of skin flowed out the hem of her skirt and slithered off for safety, revealing Elan in all her tattooed splendor. Out of the corner of his eye, Han saw Droma's jaw drop in unabashed wonder.
"Gotcha," Rex said, beaming.